Hey everyone, this is Todd. Before we start the show today, we're testing the Blueberry's advertising injection system. So I placed this spot in front of a number of my shows. So we'll have this up temporarily for a few weeks as we're testing the system. And that being said, I want to encourage each of you that are listening to the show today to visit our sponsor, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Now we'll get on with the regular program.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you live as it can be. For the last live show from Honolulu, Hawaii, the lead stories are Huawei has been brought to its knees. The NYPD is using other people's photos to tip off its facial recognition system. The U.S. Marines are thinking about an auxiliary cyber security force with folks with purple hair and everything. Tesla, they got a black eye, second death in a similar autopilot crash. I want to welcome you to episode 1368 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, May 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, we want you to support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, those of you in the watching the live show, make sure you say hello. Hello, Travis. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. Again, this is the last live show that I'm doing here in Honolulu. The studio is partially in boxes already, and tomorrow starts the final teardown. But if you're brand new to the show, don't worry. The show continues audio only until I launch in the new studio or do something weird on the other end when we get to Michigan. But there will be audio shows throughout, probably for the next at least 4 weeks, I would imagine, before we do any video. It's going to be 21 days after June 1st before the actual studio shows up. But don't worry, come over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You'll find a way to do that right on the website. Get subscribed to the newsletter as well. That way you won't miss a single episode as I deliver to you all of the content that I'm going to be talking about tonight in email with all the links. And of course, you can watch this show on your Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We're live again for at least the last month, for the next month, live, not live, but when we are live, geeknewscentral.com, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Mixer. I don't even know why I said that tonight. Don't have to worry about that for a while, but you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That is a Mastodon chat server. Come over and join that. Join the Ohana. And if you want to be part of our Slack channel, just drop me an email as well. That's the best way, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, that's a great way to stay in contact with me. You can follow me on Twitter via @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. And of course, pay attention to our partner shows. They're all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site, the New Media Show, Podcast Legends. And of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is sponsored in part by good friends over at GoDaddy.com. You can find great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Save 30% off a new product, 99cent.coms. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, also with a free domain. So $12 gets you going for the first year. Using my promo code, you can click or paste them at checkout. Definitely grab one. And of course, you can also use, for those of you business owners, you can have a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And again, GoDaddy's been here. We're fast approaching 14 years. As we switch over to June, early June is when GoDaddy came on as a sponsor in 2005. And they continue to be a great supporter of the show. And I hope that you will continue to support them through sharing my codes with your family, friends, people that you know, folks at work, linking to my site with you through your social media, through Facebook, sharing my codes again any way that you feel it's properly and responsible. We definitely want to thank you for that. And of course, as I remind you these promo codes and keep my podcast alive, keeps it online, allows my independent writing team to remain employed and be able to be paid. And again, this is a small team of independent content creators. Everything I do here, I do on my own. It doesn't have the backing of my greater company that I work in the greater podcasting space. But again, I want to thank you for your support. Share these codes again with your friends and family and subscribe to the podcast. Tell them to subscribe to this podcast to get all the latest tech news. So again, thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor here and being a steady supporter of the show all this time. All right, so let me talk just a little bit about what has been happening. We'll get into the show here in a few minutes. As I relayed on the last show, I spent 3 or 4 hours in line getting a new driver's license prior to the last show. Quite aggravating. I had to get a parking permit for my 20-foot Matson container that's coming. It arrives Monday about 11 a.m. And I was fully expecting it to be a madhouse because any interaction I've had in with a Honolulu or state government, anywhere I've had to go get a permit or do anything, has just been like long lines. So I knew they were on lunch from 12 to 12:45. They said their window wasn't open. So I left the house about noon, got down there about 12:40. Got into the office, and I, of course, I paid for 4 hours of parking and thinking I was going to be in there forever, and walked in, and there's nobody in the office. I sat down on this couch, and this young man came in, and him and I got to talking. I said, how's this work here? He said, oh, man, you're going to be in and out of here in 5 minutes. I just looked at him. I said, well, this is supposed to be they're supposed to have 5 days to approve the permit. He says, nah, they're going to do it right now. And he's kind of like, oh, yeah, right. You know, what do you know? Well, he was right. The young man came in and sat down and basically used Google Earth, looked at my location, said, where are you going to park the trailer? I said, here. He wrote a bunch of stuff on my permit, told me I had to get rent two signs with flashing lights and some things I have to pick up tomorrow. And he says, wrote some stuff and stamped it. And he said, okay, here you go. And I'm like, no fee. You know, I have a checkbook and cash with me thinking this is gonna be like $100. Oh no, no fee. This is what we do. I'm just like, I didn't have to pay. So someone got about 3 hours and 50 minutes of free parking on me. So I told the guy on the way out, I shook his hand. I said, thank you. You restored my faith. You restored my faith in government a little bit here because of after all these bad experiences all these years. So anyway, this week's really been no packing. I've been heads down, lots of stuff going on with Blueberry. We released some stuff today, a partial download reporting. Some stuff our enterprise users have had for a while. Made that announcement, worked social media today on that. A bunch of stuff going on this week. But really, in all honesty, this weekend will be spent ripping everything apart here. And then I will have stuff in the garage I have to arrange that came out of my storage unit. That should take me a day. And then hopefully Sunday, I can breathe, go to the beach with my kid. Monday, the truck comes. We'll start loading it. I've got 10 days to load it. No way it's going to take that long. But there will be a show Monday, and there will be a show Thursday next week on schedule that will be audio only. And so we'll see how that goes. I don't even know where I'm going to record it. Maybe the bedroom, because this room is going to be empty. It's already sounding echoey because everything is out of here that I use for kind of soundproofing. So we'll see what happens there. But one thing I'm pleasantly happy about is the trade winds are back here in Hawaii. It's been the last show I melted in here. It was 100 degrees in the studio. And I think I have 95% kicked the butt on this head cold I had. So there goes Facebook again. What is wrong with this stupid thing? Oh my gosh. So resetting the stream. So we'll see what happened. This just blows. Everything died here. Why did that die? Lovely. The recording died. Everything did. So I have no idea. Well, the recording is good. It wouldn't be a show without craziness. Let me write here a note to everyone. We've had some problem. And my son was warned not to be messing around with stuff tonight. So I wonder if it stayed up. All right. So that's good. It'll be definitely a new live feed. And there goes that noise again. So hopefully that, am I bumping something? I keep getting a dun-dun. So maybe it was all this rass around of stuff. Anyway, those of you listening later, you don't care about the live, but the live is back. Very, very odd on why that dropped. Okay, so anyway, that's it. We're going to go ahead and get into the content. But yeah, glad the trades are back. Very, very happy about that. So let me start off tonight with a discussion about, where is it here? Come on now. I want that. I want this. It's one of the stories that was from one of my own team members. And did I find it? Yeah. So Andrew, one of our team members in the UK, his wife was doing a search. And what she was looking for is she was looking for a holiday house in Iceland. And if you go to the article on geeknewscentral.com, which will be, of course, in the show notes, she had found, a place and actually had showed him on her device what she had found, and they had kind of talked about it. So the next day, he had advertised to him on a different advice, on a different site, what she had looked at. So his wife's search had appeared in his adverts. He says, I was very surprised to see this house. I only knew it because my wife had shown me the picture for Iceland as a holiday destination. Somehow the advertisers have managed to digitally link me and my wife. I have no idea how this was done, as we have our own accounts on all our devices. It's really cunning. Advertise to partners for things the other has already been searching for. Sow that seed in husband's mind. Oh, that looks like something Jenny would like. I'll order that now. Kerching. He says, be aware of this. If you get advertised or something that you don't recognize and would probably be of interest to your partner, you're being fished. And if it's something that you don't recognize, that you'd quite like, and your birthday's coming up, just act surprised when you unwrap it. So, okay. So let's say the wife is searching for a boyfriend. Or, this could get pretty nefarious. I always think about the worst. I don't think about, Andrew spun it in a good way. He said, my wife is, looking about this holiday house in Iceland. I thought it was a great idea. And then I saw it the next day and wow, this is, you wonder here, yeah? Now, they're on the same IP, I would assume, Wi-Fi-wise. So maybe, of course, he's in the EU, so GDPR would apply. But again, his IP would have been masked the same way in both instances, but they're not supposed to make that correlation. So have any of you seen this? It's very odd. I don't think I've ever heard anyone. This story has gotten a huge amount of traffic today. People have been talking on Twitter, on Facebook, because it's something new. So I'd love to hear from you. Has your wife searched for something that she showed you, and then it showed up in your search results on your device, a different device, the following day? I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this. geeknews@gmail.com. All right, let's talk about the big elephant in the room. Earlier this week, the president signed a national emergency about telecommunications infrastructure in the United States. And he directed the Commerce Secretary to come up with a list of companies that other U.S. companies cannot do business with. This is the important part. Huawei, or however you pronounce this Chinese company's name, basically immediately found themselves on the list. Now, based on my 25 years in the Navy, and just my internal head thinking a little bit, this, of course, some people could say this was done because of the trade wars, of the tariffs, but I think it's bigger than this. I really, really do. I have no proof, none, just pure speculation on my part. They've warned and they've warned and they've warned that telecommunications infrastructure could be at risk if this company's gear is allowed to be utilized on U.S. networks. I'm sure some of you say, it never happened. Some of you say it's possible. I lean on the side of probable. I really, really do. And of course, they issued a statement today objecting to the recent actions of the U.S. government to effectively ban Chinese telecom firms from doing business within the country. They said, this decision is in no one's interest. Yes, it is. It's in the United States' national security interest. It will do significant economic harm to the American companies with which Huawei does business and affect tens of thousands of American jobs. Yes, it probably will. It'll help, or it's going to hurt Qualcomm and a number of other companies. It's going to hurt them. But they thought this was coming already, and they laid in massive quantities of stock. In other words, they ordered enough to get them through something like this initially. Now, some of you may say, depending on where you fall in the political spectrum, this stupid video dropped again. What in the heck is going on? So, I'm writing on this on my Facebook page. I'm about ready to yell at my kid. I'm almost guaranteed that's what's going on here. So, the way I look at this is that, It's just, to me, it really makes me think that they know something here that the rest of us don't have a privilege to see. I can't imagine that this was done lightly. Now, they added 70 of Huawei, or however you pronounce it, affiliates to its entity list. And this move signifies they're trying to undermine American interest. And it also makes the company ineligible to receive items or funding without government approval. And they have to, any company that wants to export anything to this company, they have to ask the U.S. Commerce Department's permission to be able to send them anything. Export control. 100% export control. And this will be a catastrophe for them. Now, if the trade thing gets figured out, if the trade war dealio gets resolved and all of a sudden they get dropped off the list, then I will say, yep, this was completely political and they did it to pressure China. But I just don't think so. Now, some of the European partners, the French, have said, we're going to do business with them. Germany said, we're going to do business with them. The UK is a little bit, hasn't come up with a decision yet. But I want you to think about this for a second. The United States has a close relationship with Australia, UK, France, Germany, one other. I think that's it. They share information quite freely lots of data, lots of intelligence data crosses freely among those countries and us. They share a lot. And I would assume that whatever the United States has on them, they would, and again, this is an assumption on my part, that they would have shared the guts of what they have. I was talking to someone who's really, really smart on a topic, it's this general topic like this. And if you think back to where some of this originated, you think about the stories that came out when Snowden sold American secrets and basically released this cache of data that, you know, in his treasonous release of information that some people, you know, celebrated. If you remember back then, there were stories about the United States maybe even tampering with Cisco gear. If you remember this, talked about repackaging. So if someone, let's just think about this from a hypothetical standpoint. If the United States did that and sent those devices into other locations, and then those countries said, and went in and looked at the data, looked at those machines and figured out, aha, something's been going on here. Something fishy is going on. The audio is cutting out. What a night. What a night for this to all screw up. So if someone learned this and then said, oh, we need to, well, let's learn what they've done and let's do it better and let's recode and not be so obvious. So did we screw ourselves in the process on this? I'm not saying that's what happened, but what's good for the goose, good for the gander. That's, you know, but, you know, if Snowden was releasing this information and they said, uh-huh, and they looked and they said, oh, that's, two can play that game, right? Except Huawei needs us more than we need them. And time will tell where this goes. I'm speculating here, obviously. And I have no idea. There must have been a cat wandering around because something is not right with the audio tonight. I apologize. So, yeah, I think he gave it away. Whatever Snowden did, he gave it away, dumped it. I don't remember the specifics, but anyway, he basically was ultimate traitor, which in my mind should still have two bullets to the back of his head. If that would be, I think that would be a good end result for him, but that'll probably never ever happen. But so the question then is this political or is this real? So that's the question for all of you. Love to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com. Now, within our own country here, you look at the NYPD. So a new report from Georgetown Law Center on privacy and technology has uncovered widespread abuse of the New York Police Department's facial recognition system, including what they're calling image alteration and the use of non-suspect images. So think about this. In one case, what the hell? Is it just me? In one case, officers uploaded a picture of Woody Harrelson based on a witness description of a suspect who looked like Harrelson. The search then produced a match, and the match suspect was later arrested for petty larceny. So I see someone. He looks like Woody Harrelson, but he's obviously not Woody Harrelson that's committing the crime. And I tell the NYPD police officer, the dude that stole my wallet looked like Woody Harrelson. You can't type in a facial recognition system, Woody Harrelson, right? So they took a picture of Woody Harrelson, uploaded it into the system, and said match. and they got their man. I thought, you know, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking, that was kind of innovative. But the NYPD representative did not dispute any of the specific claims in the report, but emphasized the investigative value of facial recognition. The NYPD constantly reassesses our existing procedures in line with that, are in the process of reviewing our existent facial recognition protocols. He says no one has ever been arrested on the basis of facial recognition match alone. As with any lead, further investigation is always needed to develop probable cause to arrest. The NYPD has been deliberate and responsible in its use of facial recognition technology. According to the CBT report, many departments also use police sketches as raw material for facial recognition, an unsupported and broadly inaccurate technique, according to the CPT. Researchers found at least 6 departments across the U.S. that permit sketches to be used in facial recognition searches, including Maricopa County Sheriff's Office in Arizona and the Maryland Department of Public Safety. There's no indication that NYPD uses police's sketches in this way, but they did use Woody Harrelson's picture. So I'm going to weigh in on this and say that was an innovative way to find someone that looked like someone. And as long as they had additional evidence to prove that this individual was the individual that did the crime and is arrested and can be proven in a court of law that that was the person that did it, then I think that is innovative police work, not necessarily abuse of facial recognition. So, what say you? Where do you lay? And going back to the chat room, Travis, most chips, yes, are made in China. Most. We've given up our chip making ability here in the United States. It's a big issue. Big issue. Because there's some systems in the United States, how should I say it, inventory that absolutely cannot have foreign chips in it. And I think you can, if you think about that for a little bit, you go, what would be so critical in the U.S. government's inventory that they absolutely couldn't have one, they could not have any type of foreign chips in? And there's 2 or 3 major things I can think of off the top of my head. I'll let you guys think about that for a second. But going back to this altered images, they're not going to go arrest Woody Harrelson unless he was the one that did it. But makes you wonder, huh? All right, love to hear your feedback on that. geeknews@gmail.com. Let's talk about the U.S. Marines. Marines are, I worked with Marines for many, many, many years. And Marines are very much by the book. They get the job done. When you need something taken down, blown up, captured, when you need something secured, you call the Marines. I'm serious. That's what they do. They're good. They're really, really good. And what they do well. And they're a small part of a department of the U.S. Navy, but they're very proud. Those that wore the emblem, they've earned it. Now, U.S. Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller told a security forum back in April that Marines would soon launch a volunteer cyber security auxiliary unit. And early this week, the Marines announced the establishment of that unit called the Marine Corps Cyber Auxiliary, Cyber Aux, which it says will help increase Marine Corps cyberspace readiness. It says that the auxiliary would not be permitted to wear the coveted Eagle, Globe, and Anchor emblem of the Corps, which is obviously something Marines earns by going through basic training or officer candidate school. He noted that they would have to adhere to, they would not have to adhere to the Marine Corps strict standards, joking that the auxiliary would take anyone even professionals with purple hair. He says volunteers won't have to wear a uniform or adhere to the corps grooming or demanding physical standards. He says the announcement says that members of the Cyber Ox will assist in simulated environments and during periods of instruction, but are not authorized to execute hands-on cyber activities. In other words, they're not going to take part in any real-world incidents that the Marines might end up facing in a digital world. Why not? So Miller told themilitary.com that members of his new force will come in and offer the assistance, expertise, and knowledge to the uniform side. He says that the Corps hasn't figured out how big the force will be, but he expected U.S. citizens who can get a security clearance would be a good fit for it. In recent years, the U.S. military has found it difficult to retain cybersecurity professionals because many can find better opportunities in the private sector. The purpose of the auxiliary is to supplement the Corps cybersecurity expertise with civilians and veterans at a time when digital threats from foreign adversaries are on the rise. Now, if any of you just want to do a little Googling, you can go and Google online and find out what government employees make, top dollar. And if you then think about what contractors could make, they can make a little more than what government employees make, but there's still typically caps. And if you think about it, think about what the president makes, or which I think is $400,000 a year, a member of Congress, what, $267,000. Many of these cybersecurity folks who are good, I mean, really good, are easily making over $150,000 a year. And that pay scale just does not work in the DOD, in the GOV, in the MIL. Okay, get my point? So if they're going to have this auxiliary to come in and train, some of these skills, I hate to say it, do not come naturally. You know, these folks have worked hard. They've went to school. They're by nature. They know how to dig their way around systems. I just cannot believe that they are bold enough to say that these civilians will not partake in any type of cyber activities that is real world. That, I think, is a stretch. And if we're going to make them go through the process of getting a security clearance, and it would have to be a very high security clearance, where you basically have to tell the government about 15 years of your life, allow your friends and family to be interviewed, allow them to credit medical. I mean, they go through everything. You sign a piece of paper saying you can basically inspect anything I've ever done. They have to be capable, and obviously they're probably going to have to pass a piss test. They're not going to be able to be using any controlled substances whatsoever. So you're going to have pretty squeaky clean individuals from a quote unquote, when it comes to, you know, who they are. So in their background. So if you're going to give them the clearance, then why would they not be allowed to do the tactical? So that's what I think is interesting about this announcement. But the Marine Corps definitely sees they have a shortage here and need help. Why don't we have Cyber Command? Why isn't Cyber Command of the U.S.? We have a Cyber Command, right? Why aren't they doing this stuff for the Marines? That's the question I have, really, in the scheme of things. And Facebook dropped the stream again. Just insane. Just insane. What a way to do the last show, right? Tesla has a big problem. The autopilot was active when a Tesla crashed into a truck, killing the driver. And once again, the truck was on a, came to a stop, pulled out in front of the Tesla. The Model 3, on which had just been put on autopilot, hit the driver, or hit the truck, less than 10 seconds later. The vehicle went under the truck, sheared the roof, and killed the driver. The Tesla was moving 68 miles per hour, slid under the truck, and then the vehicle continued down the road for another 1,600 feet before coming to a rest in the median. This is essentially the same type of situation that happened with the previous accident. And so Tesla's definitely got the system has a weakness. When a vehicle is pulling out in front of it and there's a gap, you know, you got two wheels, got a truck high off the ground, the Tesla is obviously not seeing that. But at the same time, they said that the driver's hands was not on the wheels, but 10 seconds is not a long time. You put the vehicle on autopilot, take your hands off, 1, 2, 3, 4. What are you doing? Are you not looking at the road? Are you looking down at something? But there was no attempt by the driver to, because it had only been engaged 10 seconds. So that driver must have looked somewhere else, but it cost him his life. So these autopilot systems, I'm just here to tell you, in a Tesla, and I'm sure there's lots of road miles being racked up that are safe, but two deadly accidents with a similar type of vehicle approach and truck is pretty crazy. So anyway, Tesla's got to be nervous about this. Over in Ars Technica has an article talking about utility equipment sparked massive California wildfire. PG&E, which is the major utility in California, has been basically held, they've been said that they're responsible for the campfire, which we talked about this in the last show, that killed 85 people and burnt down 15,000 homes. They're already in Chapter 11 from some other fires, but here's the crazy part. They said that the Associated Press noted that investigators found PG&E responsible for causing 18 wildfires in 2017. 12 of those cases referred for possible criminal prosecution. As California enters another wildfire season, PG&E has said it will actively shut off power to residents if winds become dangerous. PG&E said it could knock out power to as much as an eighth of the state's population for as long as 5 days when dangerous high winds arise. Communities will likely get shut off, worry PG&E will put people in danger, especially the sick and elderly, and cause financial losses with slim hope of compensation. But what it is their high-powered lines, which in some are in misrepair, some for many years, some that are in very difficult terrain, is where a lot of this activity is happening. PG&E disclosed that 115 kilovolt Caribou-Palmero transmission line, which crossed a steep and difficult to access terrain in Northern California, went down about 15 minutes before PG&E employee noticed a fire near one of the line towers. PG&E was expected to make several upgrades to the line, but they were allegedly put off for years before the fire started. They're not saying exactly, did the line break? What happened? How did these, was there sparks? Really nothing to that effect. Did it brush up against trees or brush? What happened? We don't know. But if you live in California, be prepared for power outages during the dry season when the winds are up. Over on space.com, I'm a big space odyssey sci-fi book reader. They've got a list of the best space books in sci-fi for 2019. And they got some good ones here. Delta V by Daniel Suarez. Apollo 11 by J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. They've got Laser Death Rays and Long Strange Quest by John Heck. So a whole bunch of books out here. None of these authors I've read before, but I'll definitely be adding them to my read list here. So it's my way to wind down. It really, really is. So I like to always get recommendations. If you've got a good space odyssey that you've read that you really have loved, I'd love to have a recommendation. Especially multi-book series is something that I really appreciate. Over on MakeYouseOf.com, they've got a good article on how to hide your Wi-Fi network and prevent it from being seen. It's really simple to do if you're not aware of how to do that. And sometimes it's just as easy as turning off enabling the SSID broadcast. As long as you know what your Wi-Fi network name is, you really don't need that broadcast out there. You can enter it manually on your phone or device. Sometimes it's easier to have SSID turned on, but you can always turn it off later. But link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, over on AndroidCentral.com, they've got discussions about the best Wi-Fi routers for 2019. The Eero is being rated as the best overall. Eero made one of the first consumer mesh Wi-Fi systems. The company keeps making them better. The current generation is the best blend of advanced networking features and placeability of any system available, thanks to the small size of the Eero beacon. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. So I'm going to be looking at a lot of this stuff as I'm setting up the new studio, stuff that I can set up with cameras and all the other kinds of stuff. So anyway, best mesh Wi-Fi network, awesome, by Eero. Next up, over on Extreme Tech, they determined, NASA did, the remains of the Barashat spacecraft on the moon. They show where it augured in. And of course, Barashat, which is in Hebrew, means in the beginning, launched on February 22nd as a secondary payload on a SpaceX Falcon 9. There were early signs that not all was well when a computer reset in late February and forced the constellation of an orbital burn. And as the vehicle descended to lunar surface, the IMU failed. And the team was unable to reset components because of communication loss. By the time Mission Control regained contact, it was too late to break the lander successfully, and it augured in. So, but NASA's got some pictures here of it. And you can tell where it essentially went splat. According to The Verge, Bernie Sanders has become the latest 2020 candidate to call for the breakup of Facebook. He says, "We have an increasingly monopolistic society." It's not just Facebook there, Bernie. So, of course, Sanders, along with Representative Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat here of Hawaii, are so far the only two Democrat primary members to come out in fully support of the Senator Warren's breakup proposal. And, of course, former Vice President Joe Biden has been leading the pack, and he made headlines earlier this week saying that a breakup was something we should take a real hard look at, but it was premature to fully endorse such a measure. So that's where we lay in the politics and decisions and stuff that could affect Silicon Valley. Something kind of cool. We've always wanted an air taxi. I've always said if I had an air taxi here, life would be better in Hawaii. But a 5-seater air taxi has been unveiled, a German startup. And it's basically a prototype. And it had its first flight earlier this month, which it took off and hovered, then landed. It said the aircraft, which is electric powered, is capable of traveling 300 kilometers per hour in just 300 kilometers in just 60 minutes. And it's made up of like 300 or 36 electric fans that allow it to take off and land vertically. But it is yet to fly. So they got to do some of that yet. So we'll see where this goes. I'd like to have one of these in the backyard and just be able to jump in, program where you want to go and avoid all traffic. Be awesome. How many of you have Asus computers? Hackers abusing Asus cloud service to install backdoors on users' PCs again. So computer maker's web storage software has tried to a malware attack from the Black Tech Group. And the update mechanism has once again been abused. Researchers from ESET reported earlier this week. The researchers who continue to investigate this said they believe the attacks are a result of a router-level man-in-the-middle attacks that exploit insecure HTTP connections between end users and Asus servers, along with incomplete code signing to validate the authenticity of received files before they're executed. So Trend Micro calls the Black Tech Group, which targets government agencies and private organizations in Asia. Last year, the group used legitimate code signing certificates stolen from router maker D-Link to cryptographically authenticate itself as trustworthy. So they've done this a few times. So no word yet from Asus or not. So I just wonder how many people's machines are have back doors in them now. Twitter is giving TweetDeck some much needed love with GIF, poll, and emoji support. So if you use TweetDeck, could be getting a little bit of an update here. I don't particularly use that. The Samsung Galaxy S10 5G is the United States' first 5G phone. So Samsung and Verizon are introducing the first 5G smartphones. The participation should go to the Moto Z3, which is a 4G smartphone that you can clip a 5G backpack onto. But if you're looking for a fully contained 5G phone, the S10 5G is first. Today, that 5G is out exclusively on Verizon and can be picked up for, wow, $1,300. And as the first 5G phone, the Galaxy S10 5G lets our, basically will allow you to use it in places where there's a few 5G towers, which there isn't too much. So, but this is a special model of the S10, so be aware of that. And it's a 4 size class of the S10 after the S10e, S10, and S10 Plus. It's essentially the S10 Plus. So just be aware of that, okay? Moving on here. The White House is trying to find out if people feel that they have been biased and unfairly, for a better word, banished or silenced or throttled. I don't know what the best word here is. But they've opened up a website. This new tool will allow people to submit when they feel they have been censored by social media. They're not asking specifically for conservatives to fill this out. It's for anyone. But I am sure that those that feel that they have been silenced are largely conservative at this point. Time will tell. People are worried that that's how it will be heavily weighed. People come and say, I was censored because of this or that. I think really, and if you look at everything Facebook and Twitter does, is some things I can post something on Facebook and it gets nary a like, nary a comment. And I never post anything political. But then the next post I put up will get 80 responses. And I feel sometimes it's the Facebook algorithm that has decided what people are going to see and what they're not going to see. And so I can understand what people feel sometimes that their posts are hidden. Twitter is just a big mad mess anyway. You get lucky to see anything in a Twitter feed unless you're lucky. So there's so much stuff that goes missing on Twitter that, you know, stuff my followers say, unless someone's retweeted it or made a comment, usually doesn't rise to the, you know, the detection level for me. So time will tell what kind of information they get back. But some people are poo-pooing it, of course. But we'll see what they do with this data that they get. The city of San Francisco has banned the use of facial recognition recognition tech by government agencies. And San Francisco, along at the heart of the technology revolution, took a stand against potential abuse on Tuesday by banning the use of facial recognition software by the police and other agencies. The action, which came in an 8-1 vote by the Board of Supervisors, makes San Francisco the first major city to block a tool that many police forces are tuning in to search for both small-time criminal suspects and perpetrators of mass carnage. What do you think about this? Taking a tool away from the police to find criminals. Makes you go, a lot. Now, of course, this move is being applauded by privacy rights activists, and it has critics as well. But it is, I have to kind of agree that it's ridiculous to deny the value of this technology in serving airports and border installations, said Jonathan Turley, a constitutional law expert at George Washington University. it's hard to deny that there's a public safety value to this technology. Now, the ban doesn't affect federal agencies, so borders and airports will be just as protected as they ever were. And in San Francisco, the use of facial recognition tech by law enforcement is and apparently remain theoretical. To date, no local law enforcement has deployed facial recognition in San Francisco. The San Francisco Police Officer Association Officers Union said the ban would hinder their members' efforts to investigate crime. He says, although we understand it's not 100% accurate technology yet, it's still evolving, said Tony Montana, the president of the association. I think it's been successful in at least providing leads to criminal investigators. What say you, audience? Geeknews@gmail.com. It's being reported that Samsung may reintroduce the Galaxy Fold within a month. So we'll see what happens here. Maybe they're getting their issues fixed with the hinge. And so the hinge area is expected to be minimized. In the past, the upper and lower portions of the hinge were not blocked. So they've made some improvements here. Time will tell whether or not they got their bugs worked out. I just think this is kind of dumb, no matter what. This is a curious article to me. And for those of you that are aviators out there, I'll let you weigh in. The U.S. Air Force wants to rescue downed pilots with an autonomous aircraft or deliver special forces to and from the battlefield. Having been exposed to crashed helicopters in Afghanistan and the impacts of RPGs, trying to extract people under heavy weapons fire, I can understand where they're going. And if you think about it, if you are a U.S. military member, especially if you're flying an aircraft and it crashes and you're in a combat area, there's usually a quick response rescue team ready to be dispatched to get you. And those guys have a very dangerous job. Now, if it's a crash that happens away from a combat zone, probably not an issue. They come in, pick the guy up, get him out of there. But if it's in an active engagement area and you're trying to get that pilot out, you really put that whole crew at risk when they come in to do the extraction. And sometimes you have to use multiple aircraft to come in and do an extraction. You have to have outer security, inner security, gunship. Lots of things can go on to suppress fire, to bring someone in to get someone out. A good book to read is Robert Schrid's Not a Good Day to Die. And kind of highlights some of the activities that can go on during a search and rescue. So the Air Force wants to avoid the men in the helicopter being exposed. According to a solicitation from the Air Force Research Laboratory, one possibility would be an autonomous aircraft that could potentially fly people away from a crash site. It's called a personal recovery transport vehicle and was issued on May 2nd. And it broadly sketches out what the Air Force is looking for. A small autonomous aircraft with a range of at least 100 miles, it can land and take off from a small footprint that isn't prepared for such. That's the key. At a minimum, it would carry two people, one potentially in a medical litter, and carry up to four people along with 1,400 pounds of equipment. It has to be able to operate in all different types of terrain. With water recovery, a desired capability, but not a requirement. Finally, it should have a low acoustic audible signature on takeoff and landing, could be deployed from an airplane if needed. The Air Force doesn't specify what type of vehicle would look like or whether it would be autonomous helicopter, tilt rotor aircraft, or something else. I think it's a good idea. Now, if you're the guy on the ground, you just want to get out of there. You don't care what comes get you. Drop me a hook and let me snap in and let me get out of there, right? But what you can do with this type of a situation is you could deploy this, let's say from the back of a C-130, It unfolds itself. And meanwhile, supporting forces could circle the zone and take care of business for anyone that's down there trying to inflict harm upon the person you're trying to recover. Or even more crazy, if you're trying to insert a team into an area where it's high risk. We lost a lot of Chinooks, a lot, by them coming down in areas with rough terrain, and simply sometimes obstacle avoidance wasn't possible. Chop the tree, landing area was too steep, all kinds of crazy stuff happened. And I don't even want it, we probably could look it up online, see how many helicopters we lost, how many people were killed, but flying helicopters in a combat zone is very dangerous business. And if you're inserting or recovering teams, it's very, very dangerous. And but if you could expel a team at night, because, you know, pilots on HUDs, their depth perception isn't really good. So this could be very cool. We'll see what the government comes up with on this one. But I think this is a really, really good idea. Whether they can accomplish it or not, I don't know. Because there's so many variables. Sometimes you just got to have a butt in the seat making a decision. Really, and honestly, that's sometimes... And maybe they'll use a pilot, but to man these things. But it's still, when your head's on a swivel and you got other people in the aircraft looking out other sides of the aircraft, you know, a lot of stuff can happen in microseconds with people clicking an ICS switch and say, pull out, let's go. Or, you know, incoming fire on the right side or wherever what's happening, a drone may not be as reactive. All right, moving on here. Amazon refreshes its best-selling $50 Fire 7 tablet in the 100 kid-friendly version. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Sprint is saying they're going to launch 5G on May 31st in 4 cities with LG V50 and the HTC 5G hub. So what are those cities going to be? Going to be Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, and Kansas City on May 31st. So I don't know how wide the distribution is, but that's what Sprint says they're doing. Cisco, at least for this quarter, has a rise on strong revenue guidance. So their shares rose 3% after the company reported better than expected earnings for the third quarter, earning 78 cents per share, excluding certain items versus 77 cents per share as expected. Revenue $12.96 billion versus $12.89 billion. So not much of a delta, but stocks are up on that. Here's something to think about. Japan is running out of phone numbers. They're saying 11 digits are not enough. So Japan plans to release 10 billion 14-digit numbers in 2021 in response to concern that the country may run out of its 11-digit phone numbers by 2022. The rapid adoption of IoT devices, which require their own number in Japan, has almost depleted the nation's supply of 11-digit phone numbers. So, 11-digit numbers starting at 090, 080, and 070 used for mobile phones in Japan. And those are probably going to be expanded to 14 digits. And they say that... Japan likely won't be the only nation facing this problem, needing more numbers for more devices. Since 2008, there have been more connected devices on the planet than people. And by 2020, it's predicted there will be 50 billion connected devices globally. Think about that for a second. The U.S. and five other countries in Europol have dismantled an elaborate cybercrime ring that relied on one piece of malware to pull off heist. Officials have charged 10 people across five countries using the GoGosNIM malware. They've arrested five of the accused in Georgia, Moldova, and the Ukraine. And the charges primarily revolve on bank and computer wire fraud. So basically, they installed malware on computers, got your login information from the bank, and then went into the bank and did bank transfers to their banks. So that's kind of the scheme of it. Microsoft is announcing that they've invested in 7 AI projects to help people with disabilities. So that's pretty exciting. This year's grantees include the University of California, Berkeley, Massachusetts, Eye and Ear, a teaching hospital of the Harvard Medical Unit, VoiceIt in Israel, Birmingham City University in the United Kingdom, University of Sydney in Australia, Paizon Technology of Boston, and Our Ability of Glenmont, New York. What stands out about this round of grantees is how many of them are taking standard AI capabilities like a chatbot or data collection and truly revolutionizing the value of tech, says Microsoft Senior Accessibility Architect Mary Ballard. Doesn't say specifically, oh, here's one thing. The recipients will work on things like nerve sensing wearable wristbands. The device detects micro movements of hands and arms and trans them into actions like a mouse click. Another project seeks to develop a wearable cap that reads a person's EEG and communicates it to the cloud to provide seizure warnings. Other tools rely on speech recognition, AI-powered chatbots, and apps for people with vision impairment. So exciting stuff here. A new company called Phil, P-H-I-L, raised $25 million, and they want to improve access to specialty drugs. And we all know it's no secret that medication is prohibitively expensive for a lot of people. And the problem is only getting worse, with Medicare drugs rising at 10 times the rate of inflation. For every drug that saw a cost down in 2018, there were 96 drugs that went up. It gets even worse when it comes to specialty drugs, which are used to treat more complex conditions such as arthritis, HIV, and those types of complex treatments. So this company's basically looking to, I don't know how they're going to do this. When we looked at the problem as individual consumers as well as system builders, our conclusion was that user experience issue was just the tip of the iceberg. Turns out the real issue is systematic high-value drugs require significant communication and coordination between the MD, patient, pharmacy, and insurer. Most of this currently happens as if the internet doesn't exist. Phil was designed as a platform that would connect all these entities and as a result streamline communication workflow, making much-needed drugs cheaper and easier to obtain. We'll see. The Phil platform is quickly growing. It has around 36,000 prescribers nationwide. So we'll see what they're going to do with this. But anything that can help prescriptions go down for people are great. The company known as Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, where you can get stuff done for $5, is planning to go public. And it's an Israeli startup backed by Bessemer Venture Partners and Excel. And they are going to go public on the New York Stock Exchange. Fiverr has was last valued at $262 million in 2015. And how much did they make? Fiverr would seek a valuation of $800 million in its IPO. Hard to believe that they're going to be able to do this. It has raised $110 million in venture funding since it was founded. And in its registered filing, Fiverr reported $75.5 million revenue for the calendar year 2018, up 44.9% from $52 million in 2017. The company lost $36 million in 2018 compared to $19 million in 2017. So we'll see. Good luck to Fiverr. Amazing. And also, Facebook is tweaking news feeds to focus on close friends and relevant links. I'll believe it when I see it. All right, in the last show, I did not play the audio clip that I said I was going to play, like a knucklehead. And if I do my post-show correctly tonight, that'll play after these comments. But I do want to thank everyone for tuning in here. And I did get an email from, let's see, what date did this come in? Make sure I've got that right. Today is, I may have read this already. And no, I did not. So this is a email from Toby. Oh, he said, did I hear you'll be visiting Denver in the near future? If so, when and do you have a listener meetup planned? It would be great to meet you, buy a coffee or drink or whatever. Toby, maybe. It'll either be myself going to Denver or Mackenzie, one of our team members. One of the two of us will be in Denver maybe in July. So this is yeah, maybe July. I'll let you know. I'll keep you informed on the show. Other than that, this stream dropped again. Craziness. Thing isn't working worth a crap. All right, everyone, we're going to get out of here. Those of you listening to the podcast don't care. The stream, you just heard me complaining about it all night. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Last live show out of Honolulu. Everything else will be audio for a while now. But, you know, I might surprise you with some sort of weird location recording of the show, maybe from a barn or something like that. Time will tell. Depends on how ambitious I get. But I'm going to be busy. I really, really am. So audio, at least for the next 4 to 6 shows. But the show will go on. I don't think I'm going to miss any episodes. I may miss one here or there. But 2 shows next week, 2 shows the following week. And then, with all luck, I'll be doing the first show in Michigan on June 3rd. So I'm going to have to be talking with Kirk about our schedule, because I'm going to be on the same time zone as he is from now on out. So we're going to have to work out a way to allow him enough time to get the show notes done, and at the same time, let me do the show at a reasonable hour. I'd like to start going a little earlier, but I don't know if it's going to be possible. But anyway, we'll see. We'll work that out. And Kirk doesn't get off to work, and he doesn't start doing show prep until he gets home. So I have to be flexible with him and his schedule as well. So some nights I may have to do show prep if there's a conflict. But the 6-hour difference, he has plenty of time. And that won't be the case going forward. So we'll just figure it out as we go. Hey, it's been fun doing the live show here in Honolulu. I appreciate you guys. Some of you hanging with me tonight as this thing partially worked. I don't know what's going on with the folks from Wowza, but the Facebook seems to be the main culprit, which was goofing up. But I guess we'll see on the other side with live video. But the audio show will continue. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for being part of this great adventure. We'll see you back here on Monday. Only audio. Make sure you subscribe to the audio show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time from the last show live from Honolulu. Everyone take care. Aloha.